Theater X. Episode 9, Operation Salvage. A 1,000 miles above the surface of the Earth, Bob Britton, Mac, and flight engineer Hicks are marooned aboard the workshops of the space station Orbiter X. They plan to get away on a small transporter known as a space chariot. If they can reach their damaged ship, which is traveling in orbit, they hope to repair it and return to CSP headquarters at Woomera. Meanwhile, the Unitists have indoctrinated Captain Bradley, who now agrees to serve as their agent in Woomera. To get him there, they put him aboard his ship Orbiter 1 and instruct him to send radio signals to CSP. The plan works, and Colonel Kent and his pilot, Captain Chris Knight, fly out to pick him up, while Unity Leader Kramer follows their flight on his ground monitors. They choose a course which will take them close to Bob and the space station. So to prevent their meeting, Kramer decides that if they approach closer than 300 miles, he'll launch missiles against them. Unknown to Kent and his pilot, therefore, it's upon their line of flight that their destiny depends.
What's our altitude, Chris?
Just coming up to 700 miles, Colonel Kent.
Good.
How are you feeling, sir?
Oh, not so hot. Takeoff rather knocked me to six. I suppose I'm getting a little old for this sort of thing. Never mind that. We've got a job to do. I'll check the navigation. Yes. If we stick to our present course, we'll be passing very close to the space station components.
That's right. They'll be more or less in our path. In fact, you can just make them out on the radar screen now. We're converging with them pretty fast.
No sign of Bradley's ship yet?
No, not yet.
Then the small blip we see on number 3 scanner must be Orbiter 2.
Yes, I think it must be.
I'll check that with CSP. Hello, is this special mission calling CSP? SM calling Commonwealth Space Project Woomera.
Hello, SM. CSP answering you.
Control, there's an object bearing from us, QY7GS04. Can you identify, please? The range is approximately 3,000 miles.
Right. The tracker's checking for you now, sir.
Thank you.
Our Colonel Kent, I've just been given a report here. It's from the Minister of Astronautics in Canberra. He says everything's okay. And he wishes you good luck in a successful mission, and he's standing by for more information as it comes in.
Good. Give him my compliments, and tell him I'll keep in touch through you.
Okay. I've got that answer to your query now, sir. That object you are asking about is Orbiter 2.
Yes. We thought it must be.
I'll give you the distance check. It is 2,800 miles away from you now.
Thank you, CSP. That's all. Yes, I wonder.
I know what you're thinking, sir.
Oh, do you?
Yes. If Jack Bradley has managed to hold out aboard Orbiter 1, isn't it just possible that Britton or some of his crew might still be alive in Orbiter 2?
Exactly. But the last time we heard from Bob, he had oxygen for about an hour.
Well, Brad's found a method of tapping the oxygen in the fuel tanks. The others could have done the same.
If they have, why haven't they called us?
We can only find the answer to that by changing course and boarding them.
Yes. Well, that would mean opening the jets and using the compressors at top boost.
Yes.
Remember, Bradley warned us they might be 40, and that's the very reason why we're holding to our present course and a steady rate of ascent.
Yes, I know, but the compressors were all right on the takeoff and acceleration. We've got a perfect opportunity to go aboard Orbiter 2. And I don't think I'd ever have any peace of mind if we don't take it.
Neither would I. We'll tell CSP we're going to change course.
Good.
Hello, SM calling CSP. Come in, please.
CSP answering you, SM.
We are about to change course in order to converge with Orbiter 2. We shall then rendezvous with Orbiter 1 as arranged. There'll be very little change in the time schedule. That's all.
Thank you, SM. Message understood.
Well, we're committed now, Chris. Start the compressors.
Yes, sir.
The instrument readings are all quite normal.
Certainly nothing wrong there.
Open the jet slowly. Better to play safe.
Right. All jets firing, 7/10 maximum.
Good. Open them up and we'll change course. I'm sorry we won't be getting our close-up view of the Orbiter X space station, but that can wait.
Here we go!
Orbiter X now, chaps. If we've left anything behind in the workshops, it's too late to turn back.
I think we've got everything we shall need, Bob.
It's a pity we can't have a picture of ourselves right now. Three men in space suits, sitting on a sort of flying car chassis loaded with gear, and a couple of tiddly little jets stuck on the back. Talk about the satellite brothers.
That's just what we will be if these jets back up.
No, they won't. In fact, we can cut them for a bit and give them a rest. We don't want to burn them out.
How much further do you make it to Orbiter 2, Mac?
I was just thinking we should be able to see her now. The trouble is, this portable radar outfit isn't much use at this distance.
Okay, I'll start sweeping.
Concentrate on bearing 275DL34. She's around there somewhere.
Okay.
According to my calculations, she must be passing over the Canadian Northwest Territories. We should intercept over Hudson Bay, which you can see already.
Yes. Here, I've got her.
You have?
Yes. What's this? Hey, look at the screen. There's another ship alongside her.
What?
It can't be true. Must be a double image.
It isn't, you know. It's a ship, all right. The Unitists must have decided to check up on the old orbiter.
I must have. What shall we do, Bob?
We must sheer off. Open the jets. I'm turning well away to starboard. Okay, that'll do. Cut. Keep our distance and hope they don't spot us.
They're not likely to, unless they're on the lookout. We're a pretty small target.
Now, what beats me is, why should Crom and his mob suddenly choose this particular moment to make their check?
I think the explanation's simple enough. They were probably on their way back to join us at the space station. And this happens to be the time when the ship and the station orbits are closest to one another. They saw the ship fairly near to them. That was that. I don't imagine they'll stay there long.
I hope not. We don't want to stay in our spacesuits long. Even when we do get aboard, we'll have to work in them until we've patched up the hull and made it airtight.
Yes. As far as I remember, the fractures weren't too bad. The thing would be for you, Mac, to get straight on with that job, while Hickey and I start fitting the new jets.
Good idea. And I can help you with the compressor.
Yes, that's it.
At least we can't call it heavy work. The compressor may weigh about half a ton on the ground, but up here, I can push it around with my little finger.
Make sure you're anchored to something solid. Otherwise, you'll be the part that's pushed.
Yes, thank you very much, Bob.
Yes, look at the screen. The Unity ship's moving off.
Yes, you're right, it is.
Thank goodness for that.
Shall we get back on course?
No, hold on. Watch the screen. If Crom and his friends are going straight to Orbiter X, they'll be coming in our direction.
Yes, that's a thought. But they don't seem to be.
No, they're going the other way.
Yes. I wonder why.
Well, maybe they've decided to have a look at Brad's ship while they're at it.
Yes, maybe they have.
The main thing is, they haven't seen us.
All right. We've got a lot of work to do. The sooner it's done, the sooner we'll be back with Colonel Kent and the boys again. You can open the jets now, Hickey. Give them all they've got.
Okay.
I just don't understand it, sir. They weren't the sort of chaps to step out into space and give up like that.
Well, Orbiter 2 was empty. We saw that for ourselves. And the airlock hatches were both wide open.
That's what makes it so extraordinary. They must have known what they were doing.
We'll go into it later. Just concentrate on Orbiter 1, Chris.
Yes. Range closing to 150. A burst or two on the retrojets and we'll be alongside.
Good. I'll give Bradley a call. Hello? This is SM calling Orbiter 1. Brad, are you listening?
Orbiter 1 answering you, SM. Yes, I'm standing by. Everything all right?
Yes, Brad. But I didn't keep calling you in case we ran into trouble. We're about to start the retrojets, and we'll be alongside you right away. I can see the ship through the observation port now. We're on target, Chris.
Good.
Hello, SM. Colonel Kent, I'll bail out and join you as soon as you give the word.
Do you think you can make it by yourself?
I can make it.
Hold on, Brad. We're trimming up.
Ah, how's that, sir? There's about 20 yards between us.
First class.
You might call it beginner's luck. I didn't say anything, but for a split second on the run-in, I thought I was going to ram Orbiter 1.
He's been rammed already. Do you see the damage to his starboard jets?
Yes, yes, I do.
I'll have to come out here again and make a thorough examination. I won't keep Brad waiting around now. The most important thing is to get him back to Woomera as soon as possible.
Yes, he must be in pretty poor shape. Do you think perhaps I should go over and help him across?
I think you should. Check your suit.
Right.
I'll let him know you're coming over. Hello, Brad. We're all clear for you. Chris Knight is coming out to give you a hand.
I tell you I can manage. I'm on my way.
No, hold it. Hello. Hello, are you there? Ah, oh, he's cut off.
Can't say I blame him. If I'd been shut up in that thing for a few weeks, I don't think I'd wait.
No, neither would I.
He'll be going through his airlock now. What shall I do?
Nothing. Just watch and see how he gets on. You can always go after him if he's in trouble.
Of course.
Hello, the outer hatch of Orbiter 1 is opening.
Yes. And there's Bradley.
Yes.
He's stepping out.
He seems to be moving all right. Good. You can empty our airlock and make it ready for him.
Right.
Hello, SM. I'm speaking on helmet intercom. Can you hear me?
Yes, Brad. We can hear you. And we can see you. You're doing fine.
Yes. I'm okay.
Steady with your jet pistol. You've got a slight drift to your left. That's better. Our airlock is ready for you to step into.
Thanks. Almost there. Yes. I've made it.
Good man.
He's aboard. He's through the outer hatch.
Well, that's the first part of our mission completed, Chris.
Yes. Getting back to Woomera should be a piece of cake. Well, there's nothing wrong with the compressors on this ship.
No, I don't think there can be. Now, we're going to meet Jack Bradley at last.
Honey, you know, I feel quite shaky. It's like meeting someone who's come back from... Well...
I know. Open the inner hatch.
Brad.
Get his helmet off, quickly.
Right. Oh, poor chap, he looks as if he's practically dead on his feet.
Yes.
I made it.
Yes, you made it. You're safe now. Chris, turn on the small oxygen cylinder and hold the tube close to his mouth.
Okay.
Keep him steady while I see to the rest of his suit.
I've got him. Oh. Funny, it never occurred to me until now that when a man collapsed out here, he'd stay more or less upright.
Now you know.
I'm all right.
Yes, well, I don't worry. But what happened to that leg of yours?
I don't know. I can't remember. Give me a drink or something.
Of course. I'll get a squeeze bottle for you.
You'd better lie down now, Brad. I'll help you over to one of the contour seats.
All right, all right. I can get there myself.
Steady now.
I'm all right, I tell you. I can take it.
Oh, but you don't have to anymore. Try and relax.
Here's your drink, Brad.
What is it?
Coffee.
Okay. Oh, that's fine, thanks. It's good of you to come out for me. The radio packed up, you see. But after I repaired it, I kept trying to get through to you.
Well, of course, we didn't hear anything until the interference lifted. Then we came straight out.
You weren't the first one.
You mean you saw Britton when he came after you?
No, I never saw him. What? Was he out here?
Yes. And he never came back.
Oh. I'm sorry, That's bad.
Brad, what did you mean when you said we weren't the first?
I saw plenty of ships. big, beautiful ships. They'd come alongside and tempt me to go out to them. I tried it a couple of times, but whenever I opened the outer hatch, they just melted away. They were all in my imagination. Then I remembered Wilson, and I stayed in the cabin. I stayed with Carter until I couldn't stand his stupid, lifeless grin anymore, so I put him out through the airlock with his jet pistol fixed to him and working. And away he went.
I see. Brad, are you quite sure that all those ships were in your imagination? There's a chance they might have been real.
Now listen, Colonel Kent, who's round the bend, you or me? I've done a lot of flying. I know when I'm seeing things and when I'm not.
Of course, of course. We won't worry you with any more questions. We want to get you back to Woomera as soon as possible. Do you know what it means? Do you think you can stand up to the jet thrust, or shall we wait a bit?
No, no, let's go. I want to feel the ground under my feet again.
All right, fasten your straps. Chris, start the compressors and we'll move out of orbit.
Yes, sir. Hatch open. Here we go.
Unity Earth Control, hello? Oh, yes, yes, yes. We can see that on the central monitor. Keep tracking.
What is it, Gelbin?
Oh, that tracking officer, what's his name? Manelli, is drawing our attention to the fact that Kent's ship is now inside the atmosphere and braking smoothly.
Don't discourage our friend Manelli. A little more of his efficiency, and we should not have lost the main interference transmitter. Turn up the sound monitor.
Right.
We should hear Woomera broadcasting the preliminary landing instructions.
Flight 1, EP 74, range 1545.
There they are.
Hello, SM. Repeating. You are bearing 281, EV 74, range 1545. Open your retrojet to 110 maximum. SM to CSD, 110 to DIS. Thank you.
Colonel Kent and his pilot don't know how lucky they are, do they, Kramer?
No, they don't. They were fortunate to keep clear of Orbiter X. Their sudden change of course towards Britain's ship came just in time.
I hope their apparent success doesn't go to their heads, because if it does, they may start regular flights again.
If they do that, it should give Bradley an opportunity to exercise his newly found talents. He might carry out a little sabotage on our behalf.
Yes, so he might.
But our task now is to restore interference transmissions quickly and get to work on the assembly of Orbiter X. And while Captain Britton and his team are waiting for us, they will have ample opportunity for reflection. After a few more days in zero gravity, they should be even more willing to cooperate.
Well, the old ship's beginning to look more like herself now. You had any luck with the radio, Mac?
No, Bob told me to lay off it.
Did he?
Yeah, well, it's pretty obvious that if we started transmitting, his signals would be intercepted by Kramer, and we'd be on the receiving end of the missile before you could say knife.
Yes, I know that, but we'll have to use the radio just before we land.
Why?
Well, ships don't just drop down into Woomera without getting ground clearance first.
This one's going to.
Hey, you two. Stop nattering and help me check over the new compressor, will you?
Yeah, Bob. Coming.
Now, look. We can't afford any mistakes. Once we start moving, we've got to keep going. Otherwise, the Unitists will be on our tail.
True, true.
Hickey, you're supposed to be the expert. Have a look at these connections.
Aye, aye, sir.
Chief Petty Officer Hicks, forward.
Yeah, sometimes I wish I still was a chiefy.
Just think of all that flight engineer's pay that's pouring into that account of yours while you're out here.
Oh, I don't know about that. I reckon my wife's drawing a widow's pension by now. Oh, well, let's have a look at the plumbing.
I've checked the jets outside, Bob. They seem to be fine.
Yes, I went over them myself, too. It seems to me that the weakest part of the repair job is the hull. I don't know how those patches are going to stand the strain once we start diving through the atmosphere.
Oh, I don't know either.
Well, before we get going, we'll check our pressure suits and helmets. We'll need them if the hull starts opening up.
You're right. What about the ship's temperature control? Do you think that's okay?
Well, as far as I can see, it is. If we start burning up when we hit the air, well, you'll know it isn't.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
Now, this compressor job looks fair enough, Bob. I'll open the valves and test for leaks.
All right, Hickey. Go ahead. Yeah, yes, it sounds all right.
Yes, the gauge is steady. There's only one more test we can carry out now, and that's to open the fuel taps and see how she goes.
Right. Back to the control cabin, chaps. Let's see whether it was all worthwhile, eh? Shut the bulkheads, Mac. Now, check your suits. Get into your seats. I hope we're going to start moving out of orbit.
My suit's okay.
Yes, and mine.
Right. Well, this is our big moment. If the jets work, don't forget we've got to keep them going whatever happens. Any questions?
No questions.
We've asked all the questions, Bob. Let's see if we find the right answers.
Okay. Open the taps.
Jets are working.
Operative 2's back in service.
Watch those engine indicators, Hickey.
Right, Bob.
And Mac, you know your job?
Sure.
The navigation's up to you.
I know.
And without any radio and half the instruments gone, the best of British luck.
This is Unity Earth Control calling tracking stations. Keep sweeping. That ship must be located quickly.
Kelvin, what has happened?
Oh, Dr. Kramer, it is unbelievable, but Orbiter 2 has disappeared.
What?
The tracking stations are sweeping for her now.
There must be some mistake.
No, I am afraid not. Hello, yes? Right, put it through. The trackers have got her. The picture is coming up on number one monitor. Yes, there it is.
Yes, that is Orbiter 2, under control with all jets working. Interesting.
You take it very calmly. That ship was a derelict. Who has repaired it and who is on board?
The answer is perfectly obvious.
Not to me.
There is no mystery. We have simply underestimated the ingenuity of our Commonwealth Space Project friends. You will remember that we saw Colonel Kent's ship stop alongside Orbiter 2.
Yes.
Now we know why he stopped. It was to put a repair squad on board. They would have taken all the necessary equipment with them, and this is the result.
Yes, of course, you're right. Then what are your instructions?
I see no reason for extreme measures. If the ship makes a safe landing, it can do no harm.
But CSB will regard it as a great achievement. First, Colonel Kent arrives back safely at Woomera with Bradley. Then, if his salvage squad arrive, confidence will be restored and flying restrictions may be relaxed.
You may be right there, Gilbin.
Then, what do you suggest?
Let me see. Our main interference transmitter is out of action, but we can still transmit an emergency service for a short time.
Oh, yes. It screened the return of Bradley to Orbiter 1.
Exactly. We can use it again to jam the CSP tracking stations. Also, it will cut all communications between Orbiter 2 and Woomera.
Of course. And without the help of electronics, the ship is hardly likely to make a successful landing.
No. Even more important, perhaps, the people at Woomera will have little or no warning of its approach. They may even regard it as hostile and take the appropriate defensive action.
The interference is building up again, Colonel Kent. Just take a look at those monitor screens.
Yes. How's the level on the sound channels? Oh. All right, turn it down.
It's a strange thing, you know. It's been absolutely clear since you picked up Captain Bradley. I wonder if this is going to mean more trouble.
Yes, I wonder.
No, the interference is back, is it?
Yes. Come over here, will you, Captain Knight?
Say, it's lucky this didn't clamp down before we got back.
That's what I was thinking. It rather upsets my theories. Oh, well,
Never mind. What's the latest on Bradley?
Well, he seems to be comfortable, but there's something about him that almost puts my back up. Oh, I know I shouldn't say that after all he's been through, but I never expected him to be, well, like he is. I used to get on very well with him, but now he's... Well, he's talking down to me.
I know what you mean, but we must make allowances.
Yes. The doctors say he's stood up to his ordeal very well, and they're very pleased with him.
You know his wife's flying out from England?
Yes.
She'll probably do more good than all the rest of us put together.
Well, I hope she will.
Has he been able to tell you exactly what happened to him out there, sir?
Well, we're getting the story in bits and pieces, but so far it doesn't help us very much. You know, I'm still convinced that our efforts are being sabotaged. But we'll see whether or not I'm right when we master the interference trouble.
Sir, there's an image coming up in number one monitor.
What's this?
Oh, it's probably part of the interference pattern.
Check with the tracking stations, Brown.
Right.
Look at the picture now, sir. It's almost like a projectile. Or a ship.
Yes, it could be. But we know it isn't one of ours. And today's bulletin from the UN Space Department doesn't mention any flights.
Colonel, the trackers are in a real panic. They say there is a solid object out there. It's well inside the atmosphere, and it's heading towards us at a pretty fair rate.
It is, isn't it? Right. I want the range and bearing worked out immediately. Sound the general alarm and alert the perimeter defenses. I don't know what's behind this, but if it's somebody looking for trouble, they'll get it.
So ends the ninth episode of Orbiter X, an adventure in the conquest of space by B.D. Chapman. It was produced for the BBC by Charles Maxwell.